can I really know that I am a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? Can I have the assurance of my salvation and of my relationship with Him? This topic is one of the most debated issues in Christianity today. And I began to hear so much about that a few years ago that it led me into a detailed study. I invested dozens of hours looking at that issue, trying to come up with what I believe the Scripture simply says about this topic. And here is what I believe the Scriptures teach. It's simply this. The Bible teaches that any person who makes a genuine commitment to follow Christ is secure in the salvation purchased through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Notice the focus of the assurance. It's in what God did. It's not in what I have done, but it is in Him. Another way to say it very simply is this: if saved, always saved. We're going to look at that together. We're going to invest this morning another 30 minutes or so on this topic. If you would like to have more of that study in detail, I've got a 20-page document that I've studied looking at all the Scriptures on both sides of this issue. I'll be glad to email that to you or give you a hard copy if you'd like to request it. Let's begin in this way. We're going to look at three major principles. We're going to start with this first one. Let's emphasize this. Salvation is God's supernatural work. It's nothing that can be earned or deserved. Salvation is God's supernatural work. The born-again experience is such a beautiful gift, isn't it? And we actually get a picture of this in the Old Covenant. All the way back to the book of Ezekiel, we see a picture of what is to come in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. In chapter 11, verse 19, God is speaking, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them." He's talking about His children, His family. "I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." The Holy Spirit speaks to us, convicts us, draws us to a relationship with the one true and living God, and then we choose to follow Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. What happens at that moment? We are given a new spiritual nature, a new person, a new relationship. It's all made new. And Paul actually describes this for us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to be looking at a lot of Scripture this morning. My invitation to you is don't just hear it today. Take it home, read it over, reflect on it, and meditate on these powerful words from God. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." When a person becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, he or she receives a new nature. It's not just a new start. It's not just a new beginning. Salvation is the supernatural work of God, an undeserved gift of His grace to all of us who will follow Him. And this salvation is not temporary. It is not short term. By definition, again, salvation is forever. It is eternal. What does eternal mean? Forever. Eternal means forever. The author of Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, is talking to us about the sacrifice of Christ when he says the following words: "And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool." Look at this next sentence. "For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Now that last phrase is referring to believers. Those who are continuing to be changed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Now that word perfect can be misunderstood. We need to understand what that word means in the Greek. It means complete. It means mature. It means whole. It means to be conformed into that image for which we were designed or created. You and I were created to become God's children when we say yes to the saving work of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, we become more and more conformed into His image. The word there in the Greek is actually the word tetelestai. It's the same word that Jesus cried out on the cross when He paid the price for our sins. He said, tetelestai. In English, it means, it is finished. The work of salvation is complete when Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross. John writes in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and following, and this is the testimony. God has given us, does it say temporary life? Salvation for a short period of time? No. It says eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then in His Gospel, the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 24, He writes, verily, verily, in other words, count on it. It's true. I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. That's forever life. And will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. What do these scriptures teach us? Eternal life does not begin and then end, and then maybe begin again. Eternal life does not disappear for a period of time and then get started again. We all agree that God has the power to save us. Only He can save us, to bring us from darkness into life and light. Does He not also have the power to help us to follow Him the rest of our lives, to keep us close to Him? So God not only has the power to save us, He has the power to keep us in eternity, in His family. And that's the third eternal security truth I want to share with you. God saves us and He keeps us. Again, by His grace and power. Again, let's look at some scriptures together. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and following, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Then he describes this inheritance. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This again is a passage I want to invite you to meditate on. These are such powerful words. We are saved supernaturally. We are given a new nature, and then we are preserved in His family supernaturally, again by the power of God. I believe in the eternal security of the genuine follower of Christ. Not because we deserve it or we can make it happen, but because God makes it happen with His supernatural power. He is mighty to save. Don't forget that phrase. He is mighty to save, and He is mighty to keep us close to Him if we will trust in Him and walk in the Spirit. Here's what we see in our text today in John 10, verse 28. Look at this verse again that I read earlier. Jesus is speaking. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Notice Jesus says, I give them eternal life. That's present tense. That's now. Do you know that eternity doesn't start after we die? eternity begins when we follow Jesus Christ. Now, there's going to be a better part of that eternity in heaven. That's when all the sin is gone, all the challenges that we face in this world. We have so much to look forward to. But eternity for the Christ follower begins at conversion. Jesus and the blessings of the Christian life are for today, not just for tomorrow. The language of verse 28 is so strong. Basically, it says, they shall absolutely not perish. It's a very strong term. There are two Greek words here translated into our one English word, never. And it means not at all, by no means, no way, in no case whatsoever, in our terminology today, ain't going to happen. We're not going to lose it. There are some who take this verse where it says, yeah, no one can snatch them out of Jesus' hand, but the person involved can choose to jump out of Jesus' hand. Think about that. That's cute when we hear that. Yeah, nobody can snatch them out of Jesus' hand, but they could choose on their own to leave and jump out. But that would be a contradiction of what Jesus is saying. The words no one means nobody. Nobody can snatch that gift away from God, including ourselves, when we are authentic, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of his letter to the church at Corinth, Paul reminds the genuine believers there of this in verses 8 and 9. He will also keep you firm to the end. That's his power. He's going to take care of you, Christ follower, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are blameless, Christ followers, not because of anything we have done, but because of what God has done for us. He keeps us in his family. He empowers us to follow him. And what happens when we choose to follow Jesus Christ? Our want-tos change. Think about your desires right now, Christ follower. Are they a little different than they were before you chose to become a follower of Jesus Christ? That happens supernaturally. Remember what we read earlier in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When anyone is new in Christ, he is given a new nature, a new start, a new beginning. It's all a part of that package. What happens? Our desires change. When we genuinely follow Christ, the Holy Spirit works through us to change what we want to do. Have your desires changed as you have grown closer to Jesus Christ? A genuine believer may fail and even walk away from Christ for a period of time. But if he or she is an authentic Christ follower, they will come back. They will return. God has given us new natures, the power to be saved and the power to keep us. If a person does not return to Christ, do you know what that means? It means that he or she was never a genuine, authentic follower. They were just playing games. We can find two very strong images of salvation that I want to share with you. Very powerful words. One of them is the word adoption. If you're a believer today, you have been adopted into the family of God. Listen to the words from Romans 8, verses 14 and 15. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Adoption is a very interesting word in the ancient world. It's really different from what we have here today. In that setting, in the first century world, a child who is adopted into a family has more rights than a child born into that family. Now think about that. In their culture, a child who is adopted has more rights and privileges than a child that is born into that family. And in their culture, a family could give up a natural born child for adoption. In other words, he could turn that child over to someone else. But in their culture, he could not put up an adopted child for adoption. That child is there permanently. And that's the picture of the image that God is giving us. A child who is adopted into the kingdom of God cannot be unadopted. You are secure. You are in His family. A genuine believer who is born into God's kingdom cannot be unborn and cease to exist spiritually. A little bit later in chapter 8 of Romans, we see verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, either height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One who is spiritually adopted cannot be spiritually unadopted. You are secure in the family. The other strong image that I mentioned, the second one, is that of a seal, a symbol. Let me describe that. Again, we read in Ephesians 1 about this powerful symbol. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. Who is the seal? The next phrase shows it. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. And then we read about that again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What does it mean to be sealed? A seal in the first century world was a sign of ownership. An owner would take a seal and put it on something that he or she had, and it would represent the owner. It meant that that marking, that seal, would indicate to whom that particular object belonged. We as believers are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's the evidence of our salvation. A seal indicates that an object is authentic and real. And so if you have made a genuine decision to follow Jesus Christ, you have been eternally sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have been adopted by God into His family. Isn't that strong? Isn't that a privilege? Man, I hope this just leads you to greater thanksgiving for what God has done for you and in you to make you a part of His family. In your outline, you're going to see some other scriptural texts related to the eternal security of the genuine believer. We don't have time to go over them, but I wanted to list them for you so that you could take some time and look at it on your own. Unfortunately, I want to share with you some warnings, some scriptural warnings about this topic of the eternal security of the authentic Christ follower. And here's the first warning, and it's very unfortunate. Some people are faking Christianity. Some people are going through the motions and are not authentic Christ followers. Fakes are around. The Scripture warns us of that. I wish that was not the case, but we are promised in the Bible that some people will say the right words, that they'll put on an external show or act, but on the inside, they're just playing spiritual games and they're going through the motions. Here's what Jesus says to us in Matthew 7 about this topic. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, these are Jesus' words, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's a sad picture, isn't it? A sad lifestyle. What is the evidence of authentic Christianity? How can it be known? It's simple. We produce spiritual fruit. There is evidence. The Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit that shows that we are in His family. And if we don't produce fruit, it means we're not genuine Christ followers. No fruit means no salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. John 10, verse 27. We read that earlier. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So here are the two questions that I need to ask about myself, my life. Am I listening to the Lord? Am I really seeking Him and pursuing Him? And am I following Christ? Do I have a genuine hunger for the things of God? Do I really desire His Word? Am I listening to the commands of Jesus Christ, to His will for my life? Am I obedient when He tells me to do something? Do I follow through? That's evidence of spiritual fruit. Has my life been changed by the gospel? Is there a growing evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the evidence of the Christ life. Notice that the self-evaluation does not include going to church. Glad you're here. But this isn't what makes it happen. This is what happens after we walk out of here that really matters. It's not praying a sinner's prayer. That doesn't make us right with God. That's not an indication. It's not walking down the aisle. It's not even getting baptized. Those are good things. We need to do those things. But there needs to be clear evidence that we are His followers through the fruit of the Spirit. And here's what the Holy Spirit will do. Right now, He will tell you, if you will listen, you are a follower of Christ. You are a part of the family of God. The Holy Spirit will tell us that. Listen to Romans 8, 16. This is the evidence of that. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Is the Holy Spirit telling you that right now? Yeah. You're in the family. You're not playing games. It's real. You'll sense that in your spirit. He will show you and tell you. And just keep this last point in mind. This is important. Only God knows a person's heart. It's not up to you and I to evaluate anybody else spiritually. Only God knows a person's heart. When there were some who were questioning about whether the Gentiles in the first century Christian world had become authentic followers of Christ, Peter stood up in a meeting. And here's what he said in Acts 15, verse 8. God, who knows the heart, showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as He did to us. Friends, God knows your heart. He knows the heart of every person. So don't judge others. Don't focus on them. Let's focus on our own journey. And today, let's thank Him for His mercy. I hope you're moved by that here today. By His grace, by His goodness. Thank Him for the awesome gift of eternal life that none of us deserve. And as we see in the verse we just read, we have the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power and the resources that we need to follow Christ. We don't have to produce it. We just choose obedience. Let's do it. Follower of Christ, you've begun the first segment of your eternal life right here and right now. Allow our awesome God to continue His eternal work in your heart and in your life. May Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 be said about every single one of us here today, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was our mantra? If this is how we would live, if this would be our goal? So here's what we're going to do today as we close out this message. We're going to do something a little different for our response time. We're going to play a video song in just a minute or two. And you're welcome to sing along like you would normally during the response time. But I really want to invite you to focus on the words. You'll not only hear those words, but you'll also be able to see them on the screen. Take time during this response to thank God for His grace and mercy. Would you praise Him today? You've been adopted, Christ follower, into His family. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Praise Him today. And as you praise Him for what He's done in your life, would you take some time to pray for those who have not yet become followers of Jesus Christ? Somebody that God puts on your heart or mind today. And then begin to ask yourself this question. Is the evidence of my salvation obvious? Is the fruit of the Spirit being shown on a regular basis? Am I listening to Christ? Am I following Him? Is it a lifestyle? I want to invite you to stand with me as we prepare for this time, if you're able to. If it's not comfortable for you, it's fine to continue to be seated. If God is leading you today to make a decision public that's on your heart, I'll be down front. I'm going to be worshiping too, but I'll also be available there to hear from you and to help in any way that I can. In the middle of preparing this message, there's a phrase that came to my mind, and it's from a song that I love, and the phrase is this: God is mighty to save. And so I went online and listened to Hillsong United sing this song that you're going to be listening to. We want to share it with you. We want to invite you to celebrate your life in Christ. Listen, our Savior can move the mountains, can't He? He is mighty to save. Let His light shine through you. Let's worship Him.